Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
The NFL draft is now officially open.
This is draft season, the final pre-draft episode in our 2024 draft season quest leading up to the NFL draft on Thursday, April 25th. Draft season, of course, is brought to you by Moody's. Decode risk, unlock opportunity. Visit Moody's.com to learn more. I am John Schmelk, joined as always by my friend and colleague Tony Pauline. You can find all his written content at sportskeeda.com. And Tony, we have your final mock draft. I expect 32 out of 32 on this one in the first round. Maybe you can get one or two wrong in the second round. We're not going to go through the full two round. We'll go through the full first, and then I'll have some little nuggets in round two that I want to touch on with you. Are you ready to get this party started, my friend?
Let the outrage commence.
Ha! Yes. Well, I don't think you get much outrage on your first overall pick, Tony. No surprise you have Caleb Williams going to the Chicago Bears.
I mean, this was written in stone a while ago. People were talking in January, you know, should the Chicago Bears continue on with Justin Fields? They ended up getting, what, a six-round pick for Justin Fields? It's a no-brainer. If it doesn't work out, there are going to be a lot of heads rolling in the Chicago organization. But we knew this. We basically knew this from the get-go.
Yeah, and it seems like pick two is written in stone, too. So the ones that we kind of know, Tony, we're going to roll through a little bit quicker here that we've talked about a million times on the show. Jaden Daniels seems to be the pick for the Commanders, just a good fit in Cliff Kingsbury's offense. So I would caution, you know, you don't know how long Cliff Kingsbury is going to be there, right? So I worry about picking a quarterback just for that reason, but they probably also think he's the best available quarterback.
Well, I mean, I don't think you don't pick a quarterback because you expect the offensive coordinator to get fired or leave within a year or two. But it doesn't matter. I think Jaden Daniels can play in a multitude of systems.
Agreed.
As I said in the mock draft, I think that Daniels will eventually be the best quarterback to come from this draft, from the top four players. So it doesn't matter what he's a good fit. J.J. McCarthy, you could say, is probably a better fit for the Cliff Kingsbury system. But Jaden Daniels does fit the system, in my opinion, more so better than Drake May. And he's a higher-rated quarterback than Drake May on my board.
All right, pick number three, Tony. This is where it starts getting interesting.
Sure does.
Not that the Patriots would trade out, but that maybe it's going to be J.J. McCarthy instead of Drake May. And Dane Brugler, who's another really, you know, we've had him on our show. He does a great job covering the draft, too. He had a tweet on Tuesday that said he's hearing a lot of noise about J.J. McCarthy at this pick. You talked about J.J. McCarthy at this pick in the last mock draft we did at the beginning of April. But where did you land here and why?
I think I'm going to regret this, but I put Drake May. And I put Drake May because he is a higher-rated quarterback than J.J. McCarthy. J.J. McCarthy's absolutely in the conversation. What I said once pro days were over in my mock draft was that Elliott Wolf, the de facto GM, was pushing for J.J. McCarthy. But it just seems that I think that they look at Drake May as a guy that's got greater upside. I think Drake May, as we talked about in our last show, people in the league think that he needs another year. New England, it will not be in a position where they have to put him on the field and have him play immediately. I think a lot of things align perfectly. That's why I picked Drake May, which means it's probably going to be J.J. McCarthy.
And look, I think if it is McCarthy over May,
right,
I think that does change what happens after this, right? Because I think if it's May's there at four instead of McCarthy, Tony, you might have more suitors looking up for to trade up to number four, just because, to your point, a little bit of a higher upside, higher rated quarterback. But even in this mock with number four sitting there and May off the board, you do have a trade.
Absolutely, at four with Arizona. I think 4-5 are the trade areas. And I think with Arizona, they can trade, stay within the top 11, trade with Minnesota. Minnesota made that trade to get a second first-round pick, specifically to get a quarterback. The quarterback that they're going to get at 11 is either Michael Penix, quarterback, you know, or they're going to have to maneuver to get Bo Nix. I think J.J. McCarthy is much higher rated than Penix, much higher rated than Bo Nix, playing in an indoor stadium, 8, sometimes 9 Sundays a year. He's got a high upside. You know, with the head coach there, the head coach being who he is, I think he sees a lot of upside in J.J. McCarthy. So I have them trading to 4 Arizona and surrendering those first 2 picks to Arizona. The Arizona could take Marvin Harrison, and then the trade commences. The trade takes place at 5 with Minnesota, with Los Angeles Chargers.
How eager are the Broncos going to be, Tony? Is that going to be a big competition to see, you know, which team can put together a better offer to move up to 4?
The better offer is, you know, for Arizona is going to be Minnesota, because Arizona's got a veteran quarterback on the roster.
Now, unless maybe they want Patrick Surtain. Maybe they prefer the vet.
It could be if they're willing to offer that. I just think that that's an excellent point, because they do need a cornerback. And in this mock draft, I do have the Arizona Cardinals selecting a cornerback. I think that Arizona would rather have the picks now than down the road, which is what Denver's going to have to offer.
All right, 100%. All right, so like you said, now the Chargers are there at 5. All 4 quarterbacks are gone. If one of the quarterbacks was still there, Tony, you think the Chargers would be, as you just said, more than willing to trade back. So you got 2 opportunities here. But in this situation, they stick and pick.
Absolutely. I mean, it's either going to be Marvin Harrison or Joe Ault. Marvin Harrison is a favorite of Jim Harbaugh. You look at the general manager who he's working with. It comes from the Baltimore Ravens, who value the offensive line. Harbaugh had great success in San Francisco and, of course, at Michigan with great offensive linemen. Joe Ault has that potential. I know they have the left tackle, Rashawn Slater. I've stated all along, you can move Joe Ault to right tackle. You look what the Eagles have done, taking their athletic left tackle, putting him on the right side for the past, 12 years now? And that's what I think that while Harbaugh likes Harrison, and Harrison could still be the pick, they see the value building from the offensive line and moving on from there. And you're going to get – and the thing is this, is I hate to, you know, be, you know, think like this, but if you really are, you know, if you really are locked in on a receiver or you need a receiver, you've got the potential to get a much better receiver in round 2 and 3 than an offensive tackle, because the offensive tackles really drop off after the first 7 to 8.
And now the Giants are sitting there at number 6, Tony, and not one wide receiver is off the board.
And they get the guy that, you know, is the what they need the most, the dominant number 1 wideout, Marvin Harrison. The guy's film is great, but the thing is, that's all we have to go on, because he's done nothing in the pre-draft process. I've said all along on the show, I think the way he approached it was a mistake. I mean, these owners, these prospective employers are going to invest tens of millions of dollars in you. You don't tell them, I'm not doing this, this, and that, when everyone before you has done it. I mean, didn't catch passes, didn't do any testing, which I think is a mistake. Didn't really have a great season in 2023, I think in large part because of the terrible quarterback play at Ohio State. But I think, you know, if the Chargers take Ault, Giant fans will be doing backflips. You know, as angry as they were with the year they took Daniel Jones, they will be ecstatic, because Marvin Harrison will be sitting there staring him in the face, and they've got the number 1 receiver that they need.
Now at number 7 here, Tony, you have Tennessee picking a position that not a lot of people expect. And Diana Rossini from The Athletic reported this on Tuesday as well, that maybe it's not necessarily an offensive tackle for the Titans.
Well, which offensive tackle they're going to take? Because in my mock draft, I said, if Ault is there, that is the player that they take. I would personally take Fashanu with this selection, but Fashanu has seemed to fall down boards for some reason. We'll find out on Thursday where he ends up. So I think they go with Rome Odunze, because Odunze is a clean prospect. He's not the same game controller that Marvin Harrison is, but he's a game controller in his own right. He's not the same type of separate guy, separate from defenders, run after the catch guy, Malik Nabers, but he does that well in his own right. He's a big, reliable target that they will need for Will Levis. I do think Ault is in the conversation. I can't see them taking Fatanu, especially with the issues that's cropped up with his knees. You know, any other tackle really would be a reach this early.
I did not hear that. You're hearing something about Fatanu's medicals with his knees?
That's been I've known that since last week. That's actually been all over the internet, I believe, since Monday.
Interesting. All right, something to keep an eye on if he ends up sliding a little bit in round number one. All right, first defensive player off the board of number eight to Atlanta, Tony. Who is it?
I think it's Dallas Turner. I think Atlanta could look to trade down. Atlanta could look to Byron Murphy, but they need an edge rusher. Dallas Turner is a terrific player. He's got a great amount of upside, and he's more than just an edge rusher we talked about. He's a guy who can play back off the line in space. You can use him over the tight end, as he showed as a freshman at Alabama. Tested incredibly well at the combine. He's got some growth potential. Not completely there, but I like his game and love his upside.
And then with the Bears and nine, you decide to not take the weapon for Caleb Williams, Tony. We get a second defensive player in the top 10, something we've been joking about for months would not happen.
If Roma Dunze is available at nine, I think that's where the Chicago Bears go. I also think they will consider Brock Bowers, or maybe trading down to a team, wink, wink, the Indianapolis Colts, who want to move ahead of the Jets to get Brock Bowers. But Byron Murphy's been gaining a lot of steam lately. There are some people who think that Atlanta, and I wrote about this earlier in the week, Atlanta could take Byron Murphy at number eight. He's going to go much earlier. You know, he's a terrific interior defensive lineman who shows pass rush potential. His best football is ahead of him. He was good in 2023. He's got great upside, doesn't have great size, doesn't have great growth potential, but I think in a one-gap system, he'll do extremely well.
I rewatched Murphy a little bit last couple of days, Tony, and what struck me, and I kind of did this while I was watching Tavondre Sweat as I try to, you know, finish my rankings here, and Murphy ended up my highest-ranked defender on my board. And what impressed me, you mentioned, a little undersized. He's just, I think, what, 280, 285 right at the combine, what he measured in at. But Texas will put him at nose and put Sweat at three on a lot of these plays. And even though he's not the biggest guy, he was holding up. He wasn't getting pushed around. So I think that'll really attract teams to him. He has the athleticism and he has the size to hold up there. You mentioned the Colts trying to move ahead of the Jets at 10 to draft Brock Bowers, because that seems to be where the Jets are being linked right now.
In this scenario, the Jets will have their choice between Brock Bowers and Malik Nabers. I think that Nabers would be very enticing. Shoulder issue with Nabers that was revealed earlier this week. Some other issues. I think Brock Bowers plays the tight end position like a receiver, gets downfield, would just be another weapon for Aaron Rodgers. If it's not Brock Bowers, I think it'll be Fuega of Oregon State, because they need to go offensive line. Their offensive line, they added pieces in free agency, but they have a very thin margin of error up front.
All right, and then number 11, boy, Arizona is going to be doing backflips. So they trade out of four, but they still end up getting one of the top three receivers in the class, and maybe one receiver that some people might have as their number one.
Nabers, he's a perfect fit for the system. He could go to the Tennessee Titans at seven. He could go, I think Chicago would pass on him. You got to consider the Jets at 10. Listen, at the top of his game, when he's focused on his game and he's playing at 100%, he's a dynamic receiver. Great pass catcher, vertical receiver, excellent route runner. As you have pointed out, terrific running after the catch, has all the ingredients to be a true dominant number one wideout.
All right, then we have a trade at number 12, Tony. What do you got?
Yeah, I'm told right now, I talked about this during our last show. Denver, if they can't trade up to get one of the top four quarterbacks, specifically J.J. McCarthy, they will look to trade down. And the opportunity is going to be there for them to trade down, because there are a couple teams, specifically the Philadelphia Eagles, as well as the Pittsburgh Steelers, who have talked to them, conversations have gone on that. If the cornerback is there, they will move up to Denver's pick and grab the cornerback. I have Philadelphia moving up to get Quinnon Mitchell. Some people think that Philadelphia will move up to get Terrion Arnold. Philadelphia wants a cornerback. You know, we know Howie Roseman likes to move around the draft. He trades up. He trades down. He trades for players. And I think in this situation, they need a cornerback. There are very few top elite cornerbacks at the top of the draft. Quinyon Mitchell and Terry Arnold. I think the Eagles move up to get one of them. In my scenario, they're moving up to get Quinyon Mitchell. Could be the Pittsburgh Steelers that move up into this slot.
And then, Tony, it's funny, we're coming home with pick number 13. Our two mock drafts ago, the one I think we did back in March, if I recall, I put Penix to the Raiders at 13. And I even said, look, he's not graded that high on my board. And you're like, yeah, I can't imagine they're going to do it. But, well, why have you changed your mind?
Well, because that's where all the chatter's going. A couple things. Go back to what Houston did last year. You know, they took C.J. Stroud with the second pick, and then they moved back into the first round and took the pass rusher from Alabama with the next selection. That was sort of a compromise between the head coach and the GM. I think that dynamic plays out in Vegas. Antonio Pierce, the head coach, really wants to move up to get Jaden Daniels. I don't see that happening. They don't have the ammunition. I don't know that a team's going to want to trade down, you know, in the top four, top five to the 13th pick, but he wants a quarterback. So the happy, you know, middle ground is that Michael Penix is the pick of 13. There's been talk that Michael Penix could go even earlier. You know, as I said in the mock draft, there's always a danger with quarterbacks being overdrafted. And that's what I think Michael Penix is, really anywhere in the top 25. But they want a quarterback. They signed Gardner Minshew in the preseason. If it's not a quarterback, I think it'll be Talis Fuega here.
Yeah, a lot of other reporters too, Tony, have said last couple of days that Penix, has been a lot of Penix chatter about going a lot earlier than people think. So we'll see if that, in fact, does come to fruition here. Right now, the fifth quarterback off the board in this version of your final mock draft. All right, Saints at 14, Tony. They got to be happy. They need a left tackle, and one's sitting right there for them.
They need a left tackle. They need a right tackle. I mean, they may need two tackles. Trevor Penning is not panned out at left tackle. You don't know when or if Ryan Ramczyk is coming back. I mean, in my opinion, Fashanu is incredible value here. I've talked about him ad nauseum. He's the best pass protector in this class as far as I'm concerned. Yes, he's got to get stronger, but we knew that about his game, the mobility, the agility. Now maybe they move Trevor Penning to right tackle. Maybe they move him into guard. But with Fashanu, they get a tremendous premier pass-blocking left tackle.
All right, now we got three out of the next four picks are on defense, Tony. Seattle goes, Indianapolis. After this pick, it'll be three out of four on defense. Pardon me. Indianapolis at 15. And we know people love speed, and good numbers in the 40 at the combine for wide receivers usually help push guys up, and that's what you see here.
Yeah, I think a cornerback will be in play here, especially Quinnon Mitchell, if I'm wrong and he falls. But the fact is the Colts want to move up to get Brock Bowers. If they don't move up to get, if they can't get Brock Bowers, if they can't pull that trade off, you're looking at who is the biggest playmaking threat in this draft that's going to go in the first round, that could potentially go in the first round. That would be Xavier Worthy. I mean, Xavier Worthy, in my opinion, is a better, more polished receiver than John Ross was at equal points in their career. He's a better receiver, and John Ross is what, the ninth pick of the draft? So Xavier Worthy with Anthony Richardson, who, you know, can throw the ball a country mile. Remember how he hit the ceiling during his pro day on purpose. You know, you want somebody to take the top off that defense, somebody stretch the field, playing in an indoor facility, playing in the AFC South. I think there's been a lot of buzz about this the past couple of days. And if they can't pull the trade off of Brock Bowers, I think they surprise people and take Worthy with this pick.
All right, then at 16, Tony, here's that three out of four defensive player mix here. We got two consecutive ones with Seattle and Jacksonville.
Seattle's going to try and trade down. That is their desire. And what lay out a scenario that if Pittsburgh is able to get that 12th pick from Denver and take Quinnon Mitchell, I could see Seattle trading with Philadelphia at this spot. And Philadelphia coming up, assuming Terry and Arnold's still on the board. Now, a lot of people think that, the Seattle Seahawks are going to take Fetanu of Washington. You know, I just don't see that. They've done a good job a couple of years ago with Charles Cross and Abraham Lucas. So I still think it's going to be defense. I think if Byron Murphy's there, they would look in that direction. But I have them taking Jared Verse to fill their need at edge rusher. He's a terrific player. I think he's a guy who can start early in his career, and he's more than just a pin your ears and fly up the field type of guy. He's real good against the run. He shows good instincts, and he's shown consistent improvement the past 2 years. You know, if he entered the 2023 draft, he would have been an early pick, day two pick, stayed in school, improved his game. Now he's a mid-first round choice.
And Jacksonville at 17, Tony, they lost Darius Williams this offseason, and they need a corner, and they get one here.
I think they would like Quinnon Mitchell, but instead they get Terry and Arnold, who is a fine consolation prize. If both corners happen to be off the board, I think you look at receiver here.
All right, then the pick number 18 for the Bengals, Tony, they always want to protect Joe Burrow.
They have to protect Joe Burrow. I mean, Fatanu of Washington was very enticing here, but they signed Trent Brown to a two-year deal. You don't know what you're getting with Trent Brown. A lot of teams have Fuega on their offensive guard board. And worst case scenario, I could see them using Fuega as a guard his rookie year and then kicking him out to right tackle.
All right, let's jump now to the L.A. Rams. We know they need defense, and one of the top pass rushers is still left on the board.
Yeah, a defensive tackle would be an option here if Byron Murphy was still available. I don't think he's going to be there.
How about Jerzan Newton? Would he be an option here?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit early for Newton. I love Newton, but I think it's a little bit early. And, you know, to your point, bringing Newton up, you know, he is that type of player, you know, a little bit slightly undersized, explosive. But I think, to pair a guy like Leitu Latu of UCLA, who I have them taking, with Byron Murphy, who was a tremendous pick last year, that's a real good pass rush off the edge. And you can maybe mask some of the deficiencies on the inside on passing downs.
Yeah, you said Murphy, their defensive tackle pick late last year. Not Byron Murphy. I forget the guy's name. I just want to get that straight.
They had the kid from Wake Forest. They had the kid from Toledo.
Correct, yeah. And both those guys were very, very good. All right, then we get back to the offensive line here. 20 with Pittsburgh, Tony.
20 with Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's going to try and trade up to select, like I said, Denver to get a cornerback. If they can't do it, I think they're going to sit here and they're going to take Graham Barton. The center from Duke. A lot of people think offensive tackle, big, strong offensive tackle like J.C. Latham, Amarius Mims. I could see that happening. But with Barton, they get a guy who projects the center, who's also had success at guard, who's an intelligent thinking man's type of a lot blocker, which is what the Pittsburgh Steelers like. I think they really like to move up to get one of the cornerbacks. If they stand pat, it's going to be Barton.
Okay, let's go to pick 21 and another offensive lineman for the Dolphins who certainly need protection for Tua.
Yeah, here's where Fatano comes off the board. Now, again, Miami's going to try and trade down. They'd like to trade down to the bottom part of round one, and then they would take a guy like Jordan Morgan. If they can't pull that off, it could be a pass rusher here because that's a position of need, especially with the injuries that they've had. But I think it's going to be Fatano. I mean, they got Terrion Armstead, starting left tackle, but Terrion Armstead has always been injured. Fatano can play guard. He can play left tackle. I think he's a multi-purpose guy that they may be able to stick inside a guard and prepare him to move out to left tackle when Terron Armstead eventually leaves.
All right, now we have the Denver trade down at 22. This was the trade with the Eagles. They select Bo Nix. We've already talked about that. So let's jump to Arizona, Tony, at 23. This is a pick that they got via a couple different teams, Cleveland and Minnesota, with that trade down this year, the moving back from number four. So the Vikings can move up and select J.J. McCarthy. They have a huge need at corner, and they score one here.
Right. This is the pick actually belonging to Cleveland. They made that trade last year, so Cleveland can move up and get the Alabama pass rusher. Then in my mock, I have them trading that pick to Minnesota, and they take Kool-Aid McKinstry. You mentioned, you know, Denver moving up and giving Patrick Surtain to Arizona. I think that's solid reasoning. They still need a corner. Kool-Aid McKinstry, if you read the article I wrote on Sports Skeet on Monday, the Jones fracture, he is healing from it. He is expected to be 100%. I think this guy has been ridiculously underrated throughout the process. I think he's got better ball skills, much better ball skills than the Cooper DeJean. I think he's got better size. He's more physical than Wiggins of Clemson. I think he's a guy who, if he's not a day one starter, he'll be starting by the first month of his season, and he's got a great amount of upside.
You know, Tony, this next pick is the first one that made me raise my eyebrows a little bit and say, that's interesting. And you're not the first person I've seen in the past week or so to link the Cowboys to a wide receiver. Despite the fact J.C. Latham's on the board, Jackson Powers-Johnson's on the board, Amarius Mims is on the board, you have them picking wide receiver Brian Thomas Jr. Why?
I initially had Amarius Mims here, but they really don't need a right tackle. They need a left tackle.
That's true.
Okay? They signed the kid Terrence Steele to a huge contract a couple of years ago. And I don't know that you're going to move him to left tackle. And I mentioned that in my write-up. The left tackles are gone. Jackson Powers Johnson was also serious consideration here. I know that Jackson Powers Johnson had a great visit when he went out to see Dallas. I wrote that on Sports Skeeter yesterday. But, you know, you got to get you have to protect Dak Prescott. That's for sure. They've had success taking interior offensive linemen, you know, later, especially centers later in the draft. They may have that opportunity with a guy like Tanner Bordellini later on. But I think that you know, you look at their receiving core, Brian Thomas immediately upgrades that receiving core. He brings size. He brings speed. He's got a tremendous amount of upside, and it's another weapon for Dak Prescott.
I wonder, too, Dallas does not have a ton of picks, but they have a ton of needs, Tony. I believe they're missing their fourth-round pick this year, if I'm not mistaken. I think that was a trade. That was the pick they traded in the Trey Lance trade last year. I wonder if they would be willing to move down if the Chiefs want to move up for a wide receiver or another team would want to move up and get Brian Thomas Jr. here. Oh, I agree. I think it's a great value pick. Well, I wonder if they would be willing to move down to try to grab, you know, you had mentioned Jordan Morgan before, Sua Mataia, someone like that, end of the first round, top of the second, if they want to try to slide down and pick up an extra pick or two.
I think Dallas would absolutely love to move down, but so would Miami.
Right.
The flip side is you're going to need teams who want to move up to get players. And that could be a possibility, considering there are still some real good offensive tackles on the board in my mock draft.
Speaking of which, the Packers at 25.
I mean, defensive back, specifically Cooper DeJean, is a serious consideration here. But I mean, you know, you've got a star in the making at the quarterback position. You got an offensive line that's teetering on the brink. I mean, you bring in J.C. Latham. He's an automatic starter at right tackle, and that allows you to move Zach Tom into guard, which is a more natural position. You're going to move forward Jordan Love. Last year he proved that he was worthy of that first round choice. You better protect him now.
All right, let's go to Tampa, 26. Robinson, but maybe not the Robinson people think.
Yeah, I mean, this was, I thought edge rusher. Obviously, you know my affections for Chop Robinson. But the fact is, Darius Robinson is a perfect fit for that system. I know they like him a lot. They like him with the skills he brings on the field. They like his off-the-field acumen. I mean, he is just a tremendous leader. We got to speak with him at length at Sports Skeeter, and I know that he's come across very well. The head coach is going to love him as far as, you know, what he brings to the field, as they would Chop Robinson, because Chop Robinson is the same type of player. But I just thought for the system and what I'm hearing out of Tampa Bay, it could be Chop Robinson, but I know that they also like Darius Robinson of Missouri a lot.
And then I love this next pick, Tony, because Arizona has all those ones now. They already had two. They picked up another two. So this is their fourth first-round pick in this version of your mock draft, which is kind of off the charts ridiculous. You know what I mean? Actually, third first-round pick. They traded one. They traded their four for two more. They already had two. So now they have three. And they end up picking Chop Robinson. And I love the high upside swing for them, given their three first-round picks.
And I mean, with all their picks, I mean, they get, like you said, they get guys that have got tremendous upside. Chop Robinson could go a lot earlier. As you know, we talked about on Monday, when I talk around the league about the edge rusher rankings, it's Dallas Turner first, and then it's a mismatch. There are some people who think that Jared Verse could be the fourth defensive tackle, which means he would slide in here. Some people think that Chop Robinson's moving up, will move up and be drafted much earlier, which I mentioned in my write-up. But the fact is this, and I've said this ad nauseum, Robinson is just a tremendous athlete. People like him as a person. He wants to do everything right. He wants to get better. They talked about his production, but as I said, he had suffered that significant concussion against Ohio State. Short arms. I'm not going to discount a defensive lineman because he's got 32-inch arms rather than 33-inch arms. Big deal. He's just so explosive. He's so athletic. And you can stand him over tackle, or you can play him out of a three-point stance.
Then the Bills get their wide receiver with Adonai Mitchell. A.D. Mitchell, the super talented wide receiver. Huge upside. Some stuff to iron out, but I think the Bills would be thrilled if they could sit and pick him at 28.
I think Xavier Worthy, obviously, if he's there, would be a consideration. But Mitchell's just got to be a little bit more consistent, just got to consistently play at a higher level. He's got to revert. You know, he was good at Texas last year, but he's phenomenal as a true freshman at Georgia. He's got to kind of revert back to that. They had so many weapons at Texas last year. You know, his opportunities were limited when you look at Xavier Worthy. They had Whittington, the other receiver, Jatavion Sanders as well, the tight end. But he was a good complement, and I think he has the makings to be a big-time number one wideout.
All right, they knew the Lions at 29, Tony. I think people would be surprised to see you pick them an offensive lineman, considering that was such a strength of the roster last year. But Frank Ragnow is getting a little bit older. I think they're trying to prepare for life after Ragnow, and Jaxon Powers-Johnson is still on the board.
Exactly. I mean, they signed Zeitler to, what, a one-year deal? And, you know, as you said, Ragnow's getting a little bit older. There are signs that this could be his last year. He could retire after the season. Jaxon Powers-Johnson can play guard. He can play center. And I think more than anything else, as I said, this is a pick for the future. And Jaxon Powers-Johnson is exactly a Dan Campbell type of player. If you're looking for a Dan Campbell type of player, they had it last year with the linebacker. They're going to get it this year with Jaxon Powers-Johnson.
And then Baltimore likes picking big athletes in the secondary. They ended up picking Kyle Hamilton a couple years ago, got really good value out of him. And Cooper DeJean sitting there, and they gobble him up.
Amarius Mims was very enticing at this point because he's fallen much later than I think he should, the way my mock draft passed out. But, you know, like you said, I mean, they're partial to the bigger defensive backs. The fact is I'm told that they would look cornerback. Now, this is kind of contradictory to what I said on Monday when I said that some teams have moved Cooper DeJean to their safety board. I don't know that Baltimore has done that, but I know when I look at it at the board right now, he is the best fit for what they've done in the past and what they like to do. And I've also been told, and I wrote about this on sportsgeeta.com, that they are pretty content right now, or at least they're giving off signs that they're content with what they have at right tackle. Daniel Falele, the big offensive lineman, athletic offensive lineman that they selected out of Minnesota a couple of years ago. They also like Andrew Voorhees, who slotted in at guard. You remember Andrew Voorhees, the big USC offensive tackle, blew his knee out during combine workouts in 2022. Then there was that film of him on one leg, got on the bench and racked out 38 repetitions, basically with his leg in a full-blown cast because he had the torn ACL.
Absolutely. All right, and then you just mentioned Amarius Mims. Surprising, and you point this out in your mock, that he probably should get picked a lot higher than this. But with so many tackles, it's going to be one or two guys that fall. It's just going to be the way it's going to go. And you get the 49ers, like the NFC needs this. Them getting a guy like Amarius Mims to slide in there at right tackle, which is a position of need for them.
Position of need, and he'll be a day one starter, and he's got tremendous upside, and he'll be a great player. And people are going to say, oh, how can you have Amarius Mims going to San Francisco 31? You know, I didn't expect Michael Penix to be selected so early. I never expected Bo Nix to be drafted in the first round. I didn't expect Xavier Worthy to be selected as early as he was. You know, when you do these mock drafts, you start them off, you know, the first couple ones is what you think is going to happen and what you think should happen. And then when you get to the day before the draft, you start doing it based on what you're hearing is going to happen. And those are too often two different things and they kind of collide.
Yeah, and that's why it's fun, right? And I like the fact that you're like, I didn't expect this to happen, but that's why you do these exercises, because things happen that maybe you don't think are logical or you expect a month ago, but then when you see the procedure, it actually turns out that way. Final pick of the first round, Tony. Then we'll go through a lot of these second rounders because we have time. Kansas City Chiefs, Kingsley Suamataia out of BYU. They need a tackle. He can play left and right.
Can play left or right. He's gaining a lot of steam. BYU player, BYU kid. You know Andy Reid loves the BYU players. I'm told, and I had reported that when he had his official visit with Kansas City in the beginning of March, they hit it off. There were some concerns about Suamataia, some concerns about his maturity. As we've seen with some players in the past with Kansas City, they don't mind rolling the dice. They don't mind trading for Kadarius Toney. Suamataia's got tremendous upside potential. I mean, just tremendous upside, and he should be an outstanding player. You saw it in 2022 when he played right tackle. You saw it last year at BYU when he played left tackle. We saw it at the combine. He's an athletic guy. He's just got to get his priorities straight. He's got to focus on football. He's got to play to his level of ability. And I think with a guy like Patrick Mahomes there, you know, they always say good quarterbacks make offensive linemen play better. Well, now with Suamataia, he'll be blocking for the best quarterback there is.
All right. Now I'm going to go through the second round here, Tony, but before we do, it seems to me the major pivot point in your mind right now is which quarterback the Patriots pick at 3. Yeah. and then what trade we see at 4 and 5.
Yeah, and it's true, but I don't think it's going to set the tone for the rest of the draft, because if I'm right and they take Drake May, I think Minnesota is going to trade up for J.J. McCarthy within the next two selections. If I was right back in April when I set off the explosion, it's J.J. McCarthy. Again, teams will trade up to that 4 or 5 spot to take Drake May. I think it really starts with, you could say, the Chargers, who they select. Do they trade down? Tennessee. I mean, if Alt is off the board, what are they going to do? Do they take a receiver? Do they try and trade down? I think Chicago at 9 as well. You know, would they take a receiver? Would they take Brock Bowers? Would they trade down to Indianapolis, who wants to move up to get Brock Bowers? Or do they sit there and surprise everybody, as I think they could and will, and take Byron Murphy?
Interesting. But right now, at this point, you feel pretty confident 4 of the first 5 picks in one way, shape, or form are going to be quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think the first 3 picks will absolutely be quarterbacks. You know, as I said, you know, on Monday, New England's going to look to trade down, but New England wants a big offer. They want a lot of, you know, the owner wants a quarterback. You've got a new regime there that can draft the quarterback and take their time. So if New England trades down, it's only going to be basically for a bounty of riches. You're going to have to overpay for that selection. I don't know that anyone's going to overpay. So I think the first 3 picks will be quarterback. And then, you know, 4 or 5 will be a quarterback. Because what did Minnesota do in the offseason? They got that extra selection not to sit there and wait for a receiver or a cornerback or something like that. They got that extra selection so they could package and move up and get their quarterback after losing Kirk Cousins.
Makes sense. All right, let's go around 2 here, Tony. I'm going to take it 4 picks at a time, and you can kind of pick out something that you think is interesting in each set of 4 here, and we'll have 8 sets of 4. That's 32. I'm good at my math. So let's start with the first 4 picks. You have the Panthers taking Xavier Leggett, right, the wide receiver out of South Carolina. I wanted to get your reasoning on that. Patriots need a tackle for their rookie quarterback. Tyler Guyton makes sense. Arizona Cardinals, Jerzon Newton, another really good player for them. What a draft they're having in your little mock here, Tony. Holy schmoly. And then Washington Commanders, they get their offensive tackle for their new quarterback with Jordan Morgan. I think that makes sense too.
The Panthers pick is something I heard last night. I actually had Ladd McConkey there, but there have been red flags medically about Ladd McConkey. And I'm told that the Panthers like Leggett, sort of a hometown guy, bring him in. They need speed. They need another weapon. So the Leggett pick was nothing that I liked. It was based on information. Number 36, the Washington Commanders, Jordan Morgan. I think there's a chance. You look at the Commanders, they have, what, 6 picks in the top 100? I absolutely think that there is a chance that if the tackles start to fall, especially a guy like Jordan Morgan, Washington will trade back into the back end of round 1 and take a guy like Jordan Morgan to make sure that he can offer some protection for Caleb Williams.
All right, next 4 picks, you have Chargers at 37 taking Nate Wiggins. I think pretty good value there for a speedy cover corner for Jim Harbaugh. Tennessee Titans, Chris Braswell, the first non-first round edge rusher off the board. Junior Colson, the first off-ball linebacker off the board to the Panthers at 39. And then the Commanders, again, with their plethora of draft picks, they pick Mike Sansterstill, the cornerback out of Michigan. Which one of those sticks out for you, Tone?
Well, I think Sansterstill, because I think he could go 37 to the Chargers. I mean, the Chargers need a cornerback. Jim Harbaugh is there. Jim Harbaugh would love, I think, to be, you know, reunited with some of his Michigan players. As we talked about multiple times, Sansterstill has just had an insane lead up to the draft. So I think there's a chance that Wiggins could fall a little bit, could slide a little bit further. And Sansterstill is the pick for the Chargers at 37.
How confident are you, or not confident at all, that Colson's going to be the first off-ball linebacker off the board?
It'll either be Colson or Edgerrin Cooper, who I have selected 2 picks later. One
hey,
of those
here
two
he comes.
Guys, they're going to be very close.
All right, Edgerrin Cooper, 41 to the Packers, Tony. Kamari Lassiter, 42 to the Texans. 43, the Falcons select Chris Jenkins, defensive tackle. First DT out of that next kind of tier that goes off the board. And then the Raiders select Patrick Paul, tall, lengthy offensive tackle out of Houston to protect Michael Penix.
Yeah, I mean, is he left tackle? Is he right tackle? He's got a lot of upside. He's gained some steam, you know, for the past couple of months. There's some people think he's going to go in the first round. I don't think he's going to go in the first round. Keep an eye on Kamari Lassiter. I mean, he's getting people. He's been talked about recently, literally in the past couple of days since the final draft meetings broke. Teams like him a lot. He's feisty. He's got excellent ball skills. Didn't run well at the pro day. Timed anywhere from 4.54 to 4.62, depending on whose watch you were reading. But he's a real good cornerback.
All right, next group here. You managed to get Jatavion Sanders into your second round. You have him going to the Saints there. They need a tight end, Tone. Indianapolis Colts like Marshawn Kneeland. It's such a Colts pick. The big, long, lengthy guy that tested really well. That's what they do. I think that makes a lot of sense. You have the Giants taking the guard out of UConn, Christian Haynes. And then the Jaguars going with Ladd McConkey. We'll get to McConkey in a second. First, I want to ask you about Haynes, Tony. Why Haynes to the Giants there when there are some other guards still on the board?
Well, because he was my highest rated guard, to tell you the truth. I mean, he is a big punch in him out type of offensive lineman. You watch him at UConn, he looks solely like a power gap lineman. We saw at the Senior Bowl. I mean, he just dominated people at the Senior Bowl. Then he goes to the Combine, and he tests better than anyone expected, and he moved incredibly well than I thought he would. So now you're thinking, hey, maybe this guy's a little bit more than a power gap lineman. Maybe you could use him in some certain specific zone blocking schemes. Giants do need help on the interior of that offensive line. I think it's Haynes will be a perfect player to line up right next to the center they selected from Minnesota last year. He's going to be a terrific player moving forward. I think it's an improvement. I think it's a Giants type of pick. And I think Haynes is underrated. He should not be sort of pigeonholed as a power blocker from what we saw during his combine workout.
And then I mentioned McConkey at 48. I'm going to group him with Pearsall next at 49, Tony. And those two guys are kind of traveling on my board together too. I have them ranked nearly with identical grades. You mentioned maybe some McConkey health issues, but McConkey goes to the Jaguars and Ricky Pearsall goes to the Bengals.
Yeah, I mean, another weapon for Trevor Lawrence. I think Pearsall is moving up draft boards. You don't know what's going to happen with T. Higgins after this season. I don't know that Ricky Pearsall is going to replace T. Higgins, but he's a darn good receiver that a lot of teams like.
All right, next three picks in that quartet, Tony. Broncos, this is the pick they got from the Eagles in that move up in round number one. They select Ennis Rackestraw, the cornerback out of Missouri. Roger Rosengarten, another offensive tackle off the board to the Steelers. That makes two offensive linemen for them. They pick Graham Barton in round number one, so they go offensive lineman twice. And then the Rams select defensive tackle Braden Fisk. They get the edge rusher in round one. They go defensive tackle in round two.
Yeah, I mean, the Broncos with Rakestraw, there's some medical concerns about Rakestraw. There's some character issues with Rakestraw. He did not test well at the combine. He tested even worse at his pro day. This is a player that some people thought could be a first-round pick. I never thought it. But he's a real good bump and run cover corner. He's got excellent ball skills. Doesn't have the greatest size in the world. I think this is a good spot for him, not only with Denver, but where he should go in the draft.
Eagles at 53. Zach Frazier, the center out of West Virginia. We'll see then if they would decide to put Juergens at guard or center, Frazier at guard or center. They could figure that out. Browns like Cooper Beebe, who I think is a very safe guard pick in round number two. Troy Franklin, the speedy wide receiver, because the Dolphins don't have enough speed of wide receiver with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Well, here comes another dude. They draft Troy Franklin at 55 overall. And then the Cowboys go with a second playmaker, Tony. They go with running back Jonathan Brooks out of Texas.
Yeah, I mean, Zach Frazier, Cam Juergens has done a good job at guard. If you bring Zach Frazier in, you know, you can leave Cam Juergens at guard. Juergens was an outstanding center at Nebraska, but Zach Frazier, I think, right now is terrific value. Cooper Beebe, the Browns need some help on the inside of the offensive line. Who better than Cooper Beebe? If it wasn't for his short arms and a poor bench press, I think he would have gone much higher. Troy Franklin, another speed receiver for Tua out there in Miami. And Jonathan Brooks, I mean, this is a guy who, you know, they need a running back. I don't know that they're going to need a running back right away, but once Jonathan Brooks gets healthy, he's a guy, Brooks, that people thought if he was healthy through this process, he's far and away the top number one back in the draft, and he's a very early second round pick. I would lean more towards Troy Benson, but I think Jonathan Brooks makes a lot of sense.
A lot of people connecting Brooks to the Cowboys. Remember, the Cowboys team doctor did his knee surgery, so they probably have a pretty good feel then for where he is health-wise. People say he should be ready for the first day of training camp. Bucks at 57. They picked the third linebacker that plays off ball in this round. Peyton Wilson out of North Carolina State. He has those medical issues. TJ Tampa to the Packers, the big outside corner. And then back-to-back safeties, Tony, at 59 and 60. Texans take Jaden Hicks, and then Buffalo Bills select Tyler Newbin.
And this is where the safeties as well as the running backs are going to start to come off the board. Hicks will be the first safety, I believe, selected. Ran much better than anyone expected at his pro day in the mid-4.4s. Not a sideline-to-sideline guy, but very physical, with decent ball skills as well. You know, Newbin could be great value. Newbin is a guy who I found out was playing with a slightly torn meniscus throughout the 2023 season. They told him to, you know, sit down, rest it. He didn't want to. He wanted to play. That's why we really didn't see him at the Senior Bowl, didn't see anything at the Combine. Didn't test that well, but it's coming off of that injury. He's a smart guy. I don't know that he's got great range, but he's got terrific instincts, and he's always in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, good, very, very good player. You watch him on tape. Final four picks, Tony, at 61. The Lions selected Deesa Isaac. They get their edge rusher to play across from Hutchinson. Really good speed rusher. Baltimore Ravens like Jalen McMillan, wide receiver out of Washington, one of your favorites. San Francisco 49ers take speed wide receiver Devontae Walker, wide receiver out of North Carolina. And then the Kansas City Chiefs get their wide receiver after picking their OT, Suamataia, at 32. They select Roman Wilson, a really good slot speed guy out of Michigan.
Yeah, and, you know, sometimes the Chiefs, you don't know what they're going to do. Sometimes they make some picks that may be head-scratching on draft day, as I thought Rashee Rice was all, with all his off-field issues. But they turn out to be good players on the field. Obviously, now we're seeing Rashee Rice off-the-field issues, you know, come around and nip him in the rear end, unfortunately. But I think with Roman Wilson, he's a clean receiver. He helps out as a return specialist. He's a great fit for that system. Devontae Walker, I think, has got tremendous upside. There's talk that the Niners may trade Brandon Ayuk. If they do, they're going to need a replacement. They could use a receiver anyway. Walker, some people at some point in time graded him as a potential first rounder. I never bought into it, but he's got the size. We saw him separate at the Senior Bowl. He did a great job. Problem was he couldn't hold on to the ball because he was dropping so many passes. Ran well at the combine. He's got a good amount of upside. Just got to keep his head on straight. He's got to be coached properly. I think he'll be an outstanding receiver.
All right. I don't have a full list in front of me, Tony, but just looking at this, I'm going to throw a couple names that I noticed did not make your top 64. And I'm curious as to know to why or who else was kind of just on the outside looking in. Tavondre Sweat, we know the off-the-field stuff, but he did not make your top 64 in your grouping. Keon Coleman, the wide receiver out of Florida State, did not make your top 64. Jonathan Brooks was the only running back taken, so that means no Trey Benson. In your top 64, all the quarterbacks, I think, went that were supposed to go. I do not see any other wide receivers that were surprises, nor tight end. Offensive line, I think you got all the tackles and guards that I had in the first two rounds as well when you take a look at this group. On defense, anybody else stand out to you that you tried to get into your top 64 that you couldn't?
I think Javon Bullard, although that's a personal favorite of mine. I thought that Hicks is going to be the first player off the board. And then when I'm hearing about Newbin coming back from that injury, I said he's probably going to be a better pick, would be a better pick at the end of round two. You mentioned Keon Coleman. I actually did have him in my second round. Then I got the information on Xavier Leggett. So I moved Leggett up, moved Keon, and Keon Coleman ended up as the odd man out.
Interesting. All right, Tony, final thoughts. We got one more day until we do this thing. And of course, guys, stay tuned. Tony and I will have a round one reaction recorded late on Thursday night. We'll record a full draft reaction after the draft is over on Saturday. So stay tuned for those two episodes. Last chance, Tony, tell the folks anything else they need to know or you want them to know before this draft gets going on Thursday night.
Well, if I'm right, Giant fans are going to be very, very happy, and I hope I am correct. So, you know, what'll happen is 2 hours before the draft, 3 hours before the draft, news will start coming fast and furious about potential trade-ups. Obviously, as we talked about, the quarterback's going to go early. I think some of them, obviously, from J.J. McCarthy and Michael Penix are going to be overdrafted, but that's the way the league is now, and a lot of tension. You know, you put this out there, you hope you're right, you do a lot of work, and I think the most important thing is, I've said this all the time, the draft is not the end, the draft is just the beginning. All we have are names on a piece of paper. Let's see what happens in the next 2 to 3 years.
And, of course, stay tuned to Tony's Twitter account, @TonyPauline, all one word, T-O-N-Y-P-A-U-L-I-N-E. And he'll, of course, be putting out all the latest things he's hearing about what might happen in the draft. This episode of Draft Season was brought to you by Moody's. We thank them for sponsoring us throughout this draft season in 2024. Moody's, decode risk, unlock opportunity. Visit Moody's.com to learn more. For Tony Pauline, I'm John Schmelk. We'll talk to you on draft night, everybody. Thank you so much for being with us throughout this process. I hope you learned a lot, you were entertained, and you got educated on the draft. I know I did, learning from Tony. I know we had a good time talking about players, going to all these events together, and I hope you guys had a good time following along with us. Enjoy the draft, and we'll talk to you on Thursday night.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home, where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tanner girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.